My guest at this time is author and researcher Peter Schweitzer. He is the author most famously and most recently of Clinton Cash, the untold story of how and why foreign governments and businesses helped make Bill and Hillary rich. He is also the author of a recent piece in the New York Post talking about one of Bill Clinton's most controversial moves, the pardon of fugitive financier Mark Rich on Clinton's last day in office in 2001, nearly 15 years ago, and how that move is still paying off for the Clinton Foundation. And Peter, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
We'll get to the Mark Rich story that you detail greatly in the Post in just a moment. But let's start with a moment from the debate on Sunday night among the Democrats in South Carolina, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Martin O'Malley. They were talking about Wall Street and Wall Street reforms. And here's how Hillary Clinton described where she and Bernie Sanders stand on the issue in part.
Well, there's no daylight on the basic premise that there should be no bank too big to fail and no individual too powerful to jail. We agree on that.
And then she went on to say that Sanders has been critical of President Obama for taking money from Wall Street, just as he's been critical of Hillary doing so. Oh, the line, too big to jail, has got a lot of conservatives certainly snickering, Peter. But when you look at where the story currently stands on her time at the State Department and the coincidences that you document very well in Clinton Cash, where do you think that's going to end up being in terms of an impact on this campaign?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, we want to believe and think that decisions to prosecute for criminal conduct are just going to be based on the facts and that there's not a political component to it. But I think we're very few of us are naive enough to think that that's the way that the world actually works. And so I think, look, if you look at recent prosecutions for political corruption, whether that's Governor McDonnell in Virginia, whether that's Senator Menendez in New Jersey or a former governor down in Alabama, a number of other cases, people have been prosecuted on far less developed patterns of taking payments and doing favors than in the case of Hillary Clinton. So I think that if you look at it from a prosecutorial standpoint, there are certainly grounds for that to be considered. But I think also the courts are going to weigh the fact that, you know, do they want to be seen as intervening in an election? Again, they have done so in the past. All those individuals I mentioned, you know, face re-election and did so successfully, only then to face prosecution. So I would say right now the odds of a criminal referral from the FBI are you know, fairly high, but I think the Department of Justice actually acting on that, I would say, is fairly low, if for no other reason than the Department of Justice, of course, is run by you know, the Obama administration, and Hillary Clinton's of the same political party.
Peter, are you surprised at the amount of digging the FBI has done on this already?
Not really, because I think that, you know, look, public corruption has been a important part of the FBI's mission for a long time, and there is money being thrown at politicians all the time, and politicians going out and asking for money all the time. What's happened in the case of the Clintons is they've established a very unique way of doing it. They set up this foundation. They basically circumvented laws that say you can't, you know, take money from foreigners in a way that will influence a political campaign. So they take it instead as speaking fees and as donations to the Clinton Foundation. The problem with, from their perspective and what they've done, is that the international anti-bribery standards, which Hillary Clinton endorsed as Secretary of State, says that bribery can include donations going to a charity run by the politician. So the fact that the Clinton Foundation does charitable work really does not let them off the hook as it being a means to bribery.
Last point on this topic, you said it's a much different question between FBI recommending prosecution as opposed to the Department of Justice actually following through on it. What do you think the Justice Department will ultimately do here?
You know, I think there may be a slap on the wrist, you know, as it relates to the emails. There's probably not going to be a pursuit of any charges as it relates to, you know, the influence peddling and the self-enrichment involving the Clinton Foundation. But, you know, look, I think we have to decide in this country when it comes to rules and laws. If we believe that rules and laws are serious, they ought to apply to everyone. And, you know, Hillary Clinton's comment about, you know, no one is too big to jail, nobody should be too big to prosecute. If they've conducted themselves in a way that in the past has gotten lesser people, lesser in terms of position, people prosecuted. It is incumbent upon prosecutors to hold our elected officials to the same standard, if not a higher standard, because they've been given a lot of power, and with a lot of power, of course, comes a lot of responsibility.
We're talking with Peter Schweitzer. The book is Clinton Cash. Peter is also the author, though, of a piece that ran in the New York Post on Sunday, January 17th, looking at the 15 years since the Bill Clinton pardon of Mark Rich. And while Clinton admits that it was one of his bigger political mistakes, and even at the time he was roundly criticized not only by conservatives and independents, but even some prominent Democrats like the New York Times, the New Republic, and Barney Frank found it particularly odious. But as you detail in this piece, Peter, while Clinton may regret it personally, he doesn't necessarily regret it financially, because the money flow from allies of Mark Rich and people he did business with and so forth is still coming into the Clinton Foundation in relatively large sums. Untangle this a bit for us. How exactly is this still paying off for the Clinton Foundation?
Well, that's a great question. You know, Mark Rich was an international fugitive. He was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. He made a lot of money by trading with rogue regimes like the Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran, apartheid South Africa, North Korea. He basically acted as an oil middleman for these roguish governments. And so when Bill Clinton pardoned him in 2001, a lot of people were shocked. And then when they found out that Denise Rich, Mark Rich's ex-wife, had donated $450,000 to the Clinton Foundation and another million to the Democratic Party right before pardon took place, people immediately drew those connections. I think that those connections are real, but that's not the end of the story. If you look at some of the biggest donors to the Clinton Foundation, you'll find that these are individuals who were longtime business partners with Mark Rich, that they were his personal attorneys, that they were his media people. There's a collection of individuals that have poured, you know, tens of millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation that are directly tied to Mark Rich. And I think that it's sort of shocking that the Clintons are glad to take this money, even though it is coming from individuals who had longtime associations with Mark Rich.
How much are we talking about here? Is it possible to add it all together?
It is. You know, their disclosures are only in ranges, the Clintons. So, you know, you get a donation between $1 and $5 million. We do know that one of the people is a gentleman named Gilbert Chigori, who lives in Nigeria. He and Mark Rich had a longtime business association where they were smuggling oil out of Nigeria and selling it basically on the black market. And it was highly lucrative for them. Gilbert Chigori has pledged $1 billion, that's with a B, $1 billion to the Clinton Global Initiative. He's also given millions to the Clinton Foundation. He's helped arrange speeches for Bill Clinton. But yes, we ultimately don't know the full amount because they only report it in ranges. The added problem is that the Clinton Foundation, contrary to their promises, has actually not even disclosed all their contributors. We know that there are at least 1,000 based on some of their fundraisers that were never disclosed, and those donors were people that were precisely in Mark Rich's industry, which is commodities. So it's possible that the amounts are even higher than the ones that we know about right now.
Obviously, the greater concern, of course, was in 2001 about cash donations to the Democratic Party and the Clinton Library and so forth in exchange for a pardon. Now that the Clintons are technically private citizens, is as odious as this seems, is it illegal?
It would be. It would be if money is given or benefit is given to the Clintons in exchange for an official action that the Clintons took. And there's a lot of confusion about this. People, you know, say that, well, to prove that, you have to have a so-called smoking gun, meaning that you have to have, you know, an email that says, you know, give me this money and I will do this favor in return. That's not the case. And there are numerous people in recent political history, Governor McDonnell of Virginia and others, who've been prosecuted when there was no smoking gun. What prosecutors found were a series of gifts were given. It was not illegal to take those gifts, but the gifts were done and the timing of the receiving of those gifts corresponded with actions that favored the donors who had given the money. And I think in the case of the Clintons, that pattern is pretty well established. I mean, there are instances where, you know, Bill gives a speaking fee for $750,000, and then the company that paid for that speech literally 9 days later gets favorable action from the State Department when Hillary Clinton is running it, that saves them from a lot of legal and financial difficulty. And, you know, you find one or two of those examples, and you might say it's just coincidence, but when you see the pattern repeated over and over and over again, it really does paint a pretty ugly picture in my mind.
Peter, last 60 seconds here, and I asked you to untangle this story a few minutes ago. How much of the Clinton political survival is based on the fact that a lot of their controversies end up not being that big of a problem for them because they end up being fairly complicated, whether it's Whitewater, fundraising with the Chinese back in the 90s or something like this, whereas when it's something like Monica Lewinsky, obviously people get it and it blows up huge.
No, I think that's a great point. I think anytime you're talking about follow the money and financial transactions, it can get muddy. We also have to remember that the Clintons are both highly trained lawyers. I mean, they know where the explicit law resides, and they know that in terms of, you know, communication or the manner in which things are done, the way to avoid, you know, the appearance of illegal activity. And I think that's a factor as well. But I think, look, at the end of the day, if the sort of behavior that Senator Menendez of New Jersey engaged in or Governor McDonnell of Virginia engaged in got them in legal jeopardy, what the Clintons have done is, I think, objectively looking at the record, is far more substantial. And it behooves us, I think, to get an explanation from prosecutors as to why these individuals get prosecuted but the Clintons don't.
Questions that will persist for sure. Peter, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Peter Schweitzer is the author of Clinton Cash, The Untold Story of How and Why Foreign Governments and Businesses Helped Make Bill and Hillary Rich. He's also the author of a column in the New York Post on January 17th about the Clinton pardon of Mark Rich and the impact financially that still has on the Clinton Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.